As Christians, we are followers of Jesus Christ. And so, on this Resurrection Sunday, when we celebrate His resurrection, we want to think about all that Christ has done for us, because we are Christ followers, Christians. And Jesus Christ, who is He? Okay, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the Word is Jesus Christ. So, in the beginning was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was with God, and Jesus Christ was God. So Jesus Christ was not created. He has always been. He created the worlds. But He is God. He is with God. We have the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Has always been. Has always existed. Jesus Christ. But then, because of sin, because of our need for a Savior, Jesus Christ allowed Himself to come down and take the form of a man. And He came down and He was born in a feeding trough where there was no room for Him in the inn. In a humble place, He lived and grew up in Nazareth, a place that wasn't well known for being a place where a king would live. We talk about crown Him with many crowns, but was it Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I mean, it was a town that was looked down upon. Jesus Christ, God Himself, God that existed forever, was born in a feeding trough, went to a town that no good thing was thought to come out of. Then He came, and when He was 30 years old, the Bible says about 30 years of age, He came and John the Baptist saw Him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus Christ, that's the reason He came. He came to take away the sin of the world, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. But He came to John the Baptist, Jesus did, and he had no sin, and baptism doesn't wash away sins. And He came down to be baptized, just so that all things would be done and fulfilled. And when He was baptized, He went out in the wilderness and was tempted of Satan for 40 days. He was tempted. He fasted for 40 days and was tempted. Then He came and did miracles and lived a life of sinlessness and taught and expounded the Scriptures of the Old Testament. He didn't come and change the Old Testament. He came and fulfilled it, explained it to us. But then He took Him and His disciples to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. And He knew what was going to happen at that Passover. He knew that He was going to be delivered to the Jews and to the Romans to be mocked, to be scourged, to be spit upon, to have a crown of thorns put upon Him, to have His beard plucked, to be crucified on a cross and die, not for anything He's done, but to die for us. Now I really think that we have to really think about what death means. Because I think we as a society, and I know myself growing up, and even to this day, we don't really deal with death much anymore. We were talking about that. We butchered 23 chickens yesterday. And, I mean, that's the way people used to live. They dealt with death of animals and death of chickens and death, even with Jesus Christ. He died. It wasn't, "Well, call the person who's a professional with dealing with dead people and have him take him and we'll see him when his body's all perfect and look at him." And we don't really deal with death anymore. They took Him and wrapped Him. The people that love Jesus Christ wrapped Him. They saw the death. We, a lot of times, I'm growing up, you play video games and you shoot people and you die. And then you just hit continue and you continue right where you're at and then you hit reset and it's a game. So now when we hear that millions or thousands of people die from tsunamis, it doesn't affect us like it should. And when we hear that Jesus Christ died for us, it doesn't affect us like it should because we're so insulated from death. But Jesus Christ died and we come face to face, Ben, with his grandfather. He's getting face to face. When you come to it with death, you see what it really is. And you see that that is, from a non-Christian point of view, that's final. And it's what happens then. What was this all about? What's life about? Jesus Christ came to show us what it's all about. And He came to show us that there is life after death. This death, which we're insulated from now, but what's a part of the culture for, 5,900 years. Jesus Christ came to show that death does not have power over a Christian. Death does not have victory over a believer in Him. He rose again, and after He was buried in 3 days, He rose again on that first day of the week, on Sunday, and that's what we celebrate. Because He lives, because He rose again, we can have hope. Because He lives, we meet here this morning, and we're not serving a Savior that's dead. He came and He rose again, and over 500 people at one time touched Him and handled Him and saw Him risen. Then 40 days later, He didn't die again. He didn't die of old age. He ascended into heaven, and they watched Him go up into heaven. He said, and the angels came around and said, "Why are you staring up into heaven? This same Jesus Christ, this same exact man, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever," the Bible says, "is going to come back just like we saw Him go. He's going to come back to us." There's more to life than this 80 years. And Jesus Christ showed us that we are meant to be eternal beings, to live with God forever. But sin separated us. But Jesus Christ, through His blood, made a way for us to live the way we're supposed to live with God forever. It's because He lives. John chapter 14. If you could turn to verse 19. John 14, verse 19. If you please stand with me. I'm just going to read this one verse, John 14, verse 19. Jesus Christ is speaking. Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples before He goes to be crucified. John 14, verse 19. Jesus said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also." Because I live, ye shall live also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your mercy and Your grace and Your love towards us that is undeserved on all of our accounts. Lord, I thank You. You sent Your Son to die for us, to die in our place, to shed His blood for our sins. And Lord, I ask that we can glorify You with our lives, with our actions throughout our life, and that this morning we can look in Your Word and we can be changed and transformed by the renewing of our minds through Your Word. Lord, be with each of us and let us celebrate, let us glorify You today and learn more about You and honor You in obedience to Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Because I live. So He said, "I'm going to go away, you won't see me, but then you'll see me again. Because I live, ye shall live also." Now you look at verse 29, John 14, verse 29. It says, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe." Jesus predicted that He would die, but He would rise again. Jesus said, "I give you no other sign but the sign of Jonah, who was in the heart of a whale for 3 days and then came out." That typified Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, was going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and then rise again. Jesus predicted this, and the Jews knew it. They said, and the Jews went to Pontius Pilate and said, "Why, this deceiver yet lived. He said He was going to rise again after 3 days. Can we have a guard to set in front of the tomb?" And so they did. So they put a Roman guard in front of Him because He predicted He would rise again. And then on that Sunday morning, there was an earthquake. The stone was rolled away, and Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb. "O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting?" Jesus Christ conquered it. Because He lives, we can live also. So that's how we can have eternal life. By believing on Jesus Christ. He's not one of the ways. He said, "I am the way." He is the truth. He is the life. And He proved it by rising again. And so we can have eternal life when we believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And we talked about believing on Jesus Christ. It's getting in that wheelbarrow and trusting Him with our salvation. We're not saying, "Yes, I'll take Jesus Christ. I'm also going to do this over here and do this and cover all my bases." We are trusting in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And it's not believing in cunningly devised fables. And the Bible is as well tested, more well tested than any book that's ever been. Jesus Christ, He lives. And because of that, we can live also. Now, Jesus Christ did not come to die for us, to shed His blood for our sins, so that we just say, "Yes, God, I want salvation, thank You," and then pull on down the checkout aisle and continue on, that we just buy that like something else, then we continue on with our life the same as it's always been. Jesus Christ came in to change our lives, to give us life, to give us eternal life, but when we come to Him, our life is changed. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. "Because He lives, we shall live also." And true life, true living, isn't living the old lifestyle we used to live. What I used to be, the way I used to live, is not the life that God wants for me. It's not the abundant life. It's not the life on earth that we should have. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because I live, Jesus said, ye shall live also. How should we live then in this world? We know about heaven to come. We know that when we die, there's life after death because of the resurrection. But because of the resurrection, we'll see, it changes how we live today. So how should we live today? Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It grabs us. It holds us. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So if Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, said He died for all of mankind, and so we can just judge, if Christ died for all of mankind, that means all the people must have been dead in their trespasses and sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not anybody that does not need Jesus Christ. Nobody's, you know, some superhuman guy that just has lived a great life, done a bunch of deeds, and does not. No, Christ died for all. So that means that the best people, they still need Christ. The worst people in our worldly way of thinking, they still need Christ. And Christ died for them. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. And we see that. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, if Jesus Christ died for everybody, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. So those which live, if He died for all, does that mean that all are made alive through Christ Jesus? Is everybody on earth made alive? No. The Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So there's few that find Jesus Christ. But when you find Jesus Christ, He gives you life. And when we have life, it says we, henceforth, after we come to life, after we're born again, after we accept Jesus Christ and believe on His name, we should henceforth not live unto ourselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Jesus Christ died for us. He shed His blood for us. That changes the way we live now. We no longer live for ourselves. We're living for Him. Now, as an unbeliever, we're going to live for ourselves. And we better live for ourselves, because this is as good as it gets. If before I was in Christ, I had 80 years on this earth, Lord willing. And you better get all you can get during those years, because this is as good as it gets. You live unto yourself. You do what makes Lee happy. You do all these things. But now, when we believe on Jesus Christ, the love of Christ constrains us, and we henceforth do not live unto ourselves, but unto Christ, who died for us and rose again. So, because He lives, we shall live also. How should we live? Not for ourselves any longer. We're bought with a price, the Bible says. We live unto Christ. We live for Christ. Now, can you say that you, in your life, are living for Christ? Or is it something just on a Sunday, maybe if you're at church on that Sunday, you think about Christ? Are you living for Jesus Christ? Because He lives, we should live also. How? We don't live for ourselves. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. How should we live? Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Titus 2, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. There's that word again. His grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. For that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. But all, whosoever will, can come to Jesus Christ. But the grace of God, that grace which is undeserved favor that He shows to us, we don't deserve it. It's appeared to all men, whosoever believeth on Him. This is what it teaches us, the way Christ died for us, verse 12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So how should we live? Because He lives, we shall live also. How shall we live? We should live soberly. We should live righteously, and we should live godly lives. We should live soberly. So what does that mean? I mean, obviously that means we're not drunk. We're living soberly. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. As Christians, we're supposed to be wise. We don't want to be deceived by alcohol, by wine. We don't want to be mocked. We need to live soberly. But it's more than just that. We are to live soberly. We're to be aware. We're to be in our right mind. We're not to be under the power of anything. We're aware of our surroundings. We're sharp as Christians. We need to be sober and be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So as Christians, we are to be sober. How should we live? We should live soberly. We should live righteously. We should live righteously. We should do what's right. Sometimes that's not hard. I remember Dave, the other night, Dave Neal was talking about, as a Christian, you have these other things that somebody hands you back wrong change or something, and we should live righteously. What do you do if somebody hands you wrong change? You go back, even if it's a few pennies, whatever it is, we should live righteously as Christians. And most of the time, it's just between us and God. There's some sins that are out there that everybody can see, but most of our sins, we know what we're doing. We know we're cutting corners. We know what we're doing. We are to live righteously. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for us. He died for our sins. He did all those things for our sins. And yes, we can become, you know, desensitized to all that He went through, but He did all that for us. And then we're going to turn and say, yes, I believe on You, and then continue. No, we do not want to continue in sin. God forbid, the Bible says. We want to live righteously. So I ask you, and it's not my preaching. If God can use the foolishness of preaching, but God's Holy Spirit will work on us and show us where we are not living righteous. And allow God to convict you. And to turn from whatever you're doing. Live righteously so you can live the abundant life. Christ died because He lives. We can live also. We don't want to live in sin. We want to live righteously, soberly, and godly. And Jesus Christ gave us the example of who God was. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Jesus Christ declared who God was. We saw God on earth. We saw how He dealt with everybody. We saw how He lived. We need to live like Him. Christ-like life. That's this thing, live a Christ-like life. Live godly, because we had God on earth. So because He lives, we shall live also. We need to live for Jesus. We don't live unto ourselves. We're living for Christ. Let's go to Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus Christ, when He was tempted of the devil, Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So how are we to live? We're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're to live by the Word of God. So how do we know the Word of God? We have to be in the Word of God. We don't know the Word of God because there's a group of men that are educated and they tell us what it says and we just follow them. No, we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and God has given us His Word. He's not going to say to live by every word and then not give it to us, that we can't follow that commandment. We should live by the Word of God. If we can read, we can read what the Word of God says. If we just come on Sunday and just hear me, then you're living by what I say. You need to get in the Scriptures and read it. So when we live, we don't live unto ourselves. We live godly. We live righteously. We live soberly. We live by the Word of God because He lives. Because Jesus Christ lives, we can live also. Go to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because Jesus Christ had mercy on us. That's what he's saying. I'm pleading with you guys because Christ had mercy on you, because God had mercy on you, because He died, He shed His blood, He gave His only begotten Son to become sin for us who knew no sin, right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's saying it's reasonable that if Christ died for you and did all this stuff, gave you eternal life when you did not deserve it, by the mercy of God, that you then should live your life as a living sacrifice to Him. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed birds and goats and sheep and bulls. We're not to do that anymore. Christ died and shed His blood once and for all for sins. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But our life is a living sacrifice. We don't mutilate ourselves or cut ourselves or do that kind of stuff. We live, we sacrifice, nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will, Lord. That's a living sacrifice. When we know what we want to do and what we would do in our flesh, but we know what the Word of God says, we know how a righteous, sober, godly person would do it. We know what the Bible says. We live and present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that's just saying, God, whatever You want me to do, I'll do. And I'll trust You. Not only do I believe on the facts, but I'll get in the wheelbarrow and trust You with my life. So we present our bodies a living sacrifice. So what should we do? Because I live, He said, ye shall live also. We don't live unto ourselves, we live unto God. We live righteously, soberly, and godly. We live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, and we live our lives as a living sacrifice. So we can come and celebrate this resurrection, and we should. But we celebrate it knowing because He lives, then we also live. And how should we live? The Bible is very clear on those things. And these commandments are not grievous, the Bible says. It seems like, man, if I do this and this, it's going to be terrible. But no. He promises life and abundant life if we do it. Not by the world's standards. If we're judging by the world's standards, yeah, it might be grievous. But if we're judging by God's standards, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have joy. We're going to have love. We're going to have peace that passeth all understanding. If we do these things, if we live unto Christ. So Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. And we celebrate that this morning, His resurrection. We celebrate the fact that we are able to, because of the mercy of God, to just trust in Him, to give that free gift of salvation, but now we can give our lives as a living sacrifice to Him, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please stand with me. Closing prayer. After this, if we could be seated again, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your salvation. Thank You for sending Your Son to die and to rise again, and that we can come together on this Resurrection Sunday and celebrate that fact. Lord, I do ask that You be with each one of us and work on our hearts. Allow each one of us to be a living sacrifice to You, holy and acceptable unto God. Lord, I just ask that You would use the preaching of Your Word to change each of our lives. And that it's not through to my foolish words, but it's through Your Word here and through Your Holy Spirit that can convict each one of us. Lord, I do ask this morning if there's anybody here that does not know that they have trusted and believed on Jesus Christ, and there's a time that they have been born again where old things are passed away and all things are become new. That they know they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Your Son and Your Son alone. And they've been converted. If somebody does not know that that has happened, Lord, I ask that this would be the time, today would be the day of their salvation, that they can put their trust in You because You are the truth. You are the life. You're the resurrection. Lord, please draw those people to You. Draw that person to You this morning. Lord, help us as Christians to live for You. And if we're walking in a wayward path, if we're straying away, bring us back, Lord. Chastise us as sons and daughters of You. And bring us back and use the preaching of Your Word for that. Lord, draw each of us into Your Word. Allow us to read and to live according to it. Lord, I just thank You again. And I thank You that we can come together as believers. I thank You for the fellowship that we have, and knowing that we all are trusting in Your Son, and we glorify Your Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. I pray this in His name, Jesus Christ. Amen.